Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm a big believer that goalies have to support goalies. There's only two goalies or whatever, however it shakes out or whatever. If Devin is in the room, I haven't spoken to him at all, but there was a time in my life where I didn't treat the other goalies that well. And it was a mistake. You have to support each other, because the reality is, in an 82 game season, you need both guys to be going, and you need both guys to win games. And when one guy's struggling, you need the other guy to pick him up for the confidence. I know, like, when I'm struggling and I know that the other guy is going to win a game, it gives me a lot of confidence, and it makes me play a lot more freely. So, like I said, it's just such a delicate balance of being very competitive with each other and pushing each other, and also being very supportive as well off the ice, and having that good relationship. So
that's new Sabres netminder Alex Lyon there. Were you a good battery mate?
Yeah, I tried to be, and I mean, obviously, depending on the situation you're in, sometimes your focus is a little different. If you're the starting netminder, I mean,
white mask, free agency, trade likely changes your perspective.
See, that's a misconception, Duffer.
Yes, I know. That's why I bring it up. Just like
it's
you
a
thinking
misconception,
it's mid-July.
Because I played a game with a painted mask, and that darn thing, I couldn't see out of it. Still won those two games, though. But yes, so there is. I was a young goaltender, and I remember, and these are not going to be any secrets. My first year in Buffalo, I get called up because Dominic Hasek and Dwayne Rollison don't start the season well after going to the Stanley Cup final the year before. And I play a game against Carolina. I win. Dom comes back, plays a couple of games. He wins. I was about to go be sent down. Dom gets hurt. He's going to miss 2 months. I stay. I play a lot. Well, Dwayne Rollison wasn't the nicest to me. Like, Rolly was mad. He was seeing an opportunity for his career to take a step forward. And I love Rolly. Him and I are great friends now. Like, I see his boys played at Niagara University, see him around. But there wasn't a good situation then at that moment. We talked about Michael Layton yesterday being hired as the goalie coach of the Detroit Red Wings. I got to know Michael Layton a couple of times in Buffalo and in Philadelphia in short terms. And I remember him telling me stories about his relationship with Craig Anderson when they were in Chicago together. And he was saying, he's not a good teammate. And look, Craig Anderson was a fantastic teammate in Buffalo. Alex Lyon, the fact that he was able to say, I was not the most supportive guy before, but I realized I needed to be. It's not so much you need to be for the other guys. You need to be for yourself. There is that dynamic that's weird, but once you've figured it out, it's so much better. You just have to be. I think the goalies that are not good teammates are those that are self-conscious about their own skin, their own position. They're not. And once you figure that out, you're like, hey, okay, now I can be a really good teammate. Now I can support one another. And I think that is something you have to be as a goaltender, especially if you're 32 years old, you sign a contract with a new team and you've got a couple of younger goaltenders. And I'm going to say younger because I don't think UPL is young anymore, but Levi is still on the younger side. Like, Lyon's got to come in and make sure that goalie room is positive, is supportive. And that the team is benefiting from that. I think that was a very important lesson that he learned that I also learned. Mike Bills is the goalie coach for the Buffalo Sabres. My first year in Rochester, Bills, he was awesome. He's a good veteran. I was struggling. I probably didn't show the support as much as I should have. Why? Because I was self-conscious about my own position on the team. That is not a good... But then after that, oh, well, the next year I played better and all of a sudden I'm like, oh, now I'm a better teammate. But you have to learn these things. And obviously Lyon, I mean, didn't get to the NHL until he was much older in his later 20s. So that's a lesson you have to learn later in life sometimes.
How many games do you imagine? Well, you could predict it. You could put it in ink. How many games Alex Lyon will play this year?
Well, in a perfect scenario, you're probably seeing 32 for Lyon, 50 for Luukkonen, right? In a perfect scenario. That means Lukanen's playing well, but you need Lyon to come in and play some games, help, again, picking up one another. I think that we talked about Jeremy Swayman earlier when we talked about the Boston Bruins. That was the one thing. I hated the goalie hug. I hate that fake goalie hug at the end of the game, but maybe it wasn't so fake because what we saw to Swayman and Allmark is that if one guy started losing a couple of games, by supporting the other guy, you took pressure off your own shoulders because the other guy would go on a run. When you came back, the team's playing better, and now you feel really confident. So that support worked out really well for the Boston Bruins. I'm not saying that is exactly that 1A, 1B that's going to happen in Buffalo. But if you go 50-32, that means Lukanen's playing well, but that means Lyon is doing his job, and all of a sudden you can build and bounce back and forth. I think that, to me, would be the perfect number for those two guys.
I want to go back to Josh Norris for just a minute.
Yes. Is Josh Norris supporting Tage Thompson, and are they being supported by Alex Lyon at the end?
Well, it's not as easy to narrow it down, define it like you just did with the goalies, where either you're in it for yourself or you're in it together with the other guy.
Yeah,
we talk about it all the time. Culture, you know, likability, whatever, all these, you know, things could be within the room to help one another along. But like, based on Josh Norris's path to his most recent destination, his current place in the NHL, Buffalo, like, it has not been easy based on the injuries and expectations. And whatever you think about it, contracts play a role in your psyche. Josh Norris is the highest paid Sabres forward right now.
Yes.
What does Josh Norris need from the group, from the coaches, from whomever, to be his best self and reach his and the team's expectations this year?
So it's funny you say that because, like, if I was, I mentioned, like, Jack Hughes averages about 61 games per year. Mm-hmm. If I'm getting 62 or 63 games from Josh Norris this year, it's almost a step forward, right? Because we only got, like, three from the Sabres, but I think it was 56 overall last year, and 52 and 52. And it's like, man, can we get 65 plus out of Josh Norris, right? Mm-hmm. That's the biggest thing. One other part that is going to make a difference for me is time on ice. And if you are a first-line center, you would think that 19 minutes, 18 and a half, 19 minutes is probably where you're going to be, time on ice. I would like to see that more in the 17 and say, hey, you know what? We're not going to tax Josh Norris so much because we want him to play over 70, 75, 80 games. So we're going to keep his minutes a little. So what you're going to need is potentially, okay, McLeod's got to play a little bit more minutes, and maybe McLeod is more on the defensive side, penalty kill and all of that. Well, okay, who's your other center? Yuri Kulik is going to have to play more minutes. And maybe that means, okay, you're going to have a few shifts against, let's just say the best team on the other, the best players on the other side, right? Like that's who you're going to have to go against, because we're going to have to just take a little bit off of Josh Norris's plate. Say he's making $7.9 million, almost $800,000 more than the next highest paid forward. You should be able to put everything on his plate. Yes, you should. But there's a different circumstance here with Josh Norris that I think if you want him to be able to play 75, 77, 80 games this year, maybe a top line center minutes per game is not what Josh Norris needs. He probably needs more like 17 and a half, 18 at the most. And then you just help him and you support him with everybody else filling in the gaps. Maybe late in the game, it's more Thompson and Tuck together. And all of a sudden you play them with McLeod. You shift things around. And Lindy Ruff is good at that, to make sure that you're managing him and supporting him with the rest of the roster.
Again, it's impossible based on he only played three games.
Yeah.
But as time has gone on, and as it will go on here in the summer, and potential for change still exists in the top six, like, do you look at the roster and think that there is one guy that I would expect will be the, doesn't have to be right, but for lack of a better term, the right-hand man for Josh Norris this year?
I think the right-hand man for Norris is Thompson.
For sure.
And I
mean, again, we're coming off a year where it was Jiří for the most part with Tage. So
Jiří, Tage, and Zach Benson, right?
Well, that's how it ended, but like,
or you could put Alex Tuck on there, and then you have Tuck and Thompson again. But I really feel that if I'm looking at duos this year, I want to see Norris and Thompson as a duo. Okay. I want to see those two tight at the hip. Let's go. Produce offensively. Make it happen. So that leaves me with Jiří kind of, but this is going to be a weird one, but I think Jiří and Jason Zucker should be a duo. Like, these two talk so highly of one another, and I'm not saying that that's who is going to lead your second line, but I would play them together. And then if you want Tuck on that line, good. If you want Jack Quinn on that line, good, whatever. But I think I would say Zucker and Kulik for me would be a grouping, a pair, a duo, because Zucker had a really big influence in Yuri's first full season in the NHL. And I think Jiří really learns a lot from Zucker, and I would pair them together. So I want those two attached at the hips. I want Norris and Thompson attached at the hips. And then, okay, if you put Tuck up with Norris and Thompson a little bit, and then all of a sudden maybe you put them with Kulik and Zucker, you put Quinn in there, maybe you elevate Greenway in this situation, Benson. But those would be my two groups, my two pairs that I would not stay away from.
You've almost unintentionally proven a point. You rattled through almost the entire forward group and didn't mention Josh Stone. And I feel like I still look at depth charts and I don't think everybody includes Josh Stone right now. Why is that?
Because I think Josh Stone, and I like the player and the upside of the player, but I think that for me, Josh Doan this year is a bottom six guy. I don't even like mentioning Zach Benson in a top six role, because I don't see Zach Benson as a top six player. You want my team to be a successful team? I don't see Zach Benson being a top two line guy. Same with Josh Doan. But can the Sabres get away with having either Zach Benson or Josh Doan in a top six role? Yes. Why? Because if their defense and their goaltending gets better, you can get away with it. But if you're not getting better defensive play and better goaltending, it doesn't matter who's going to be in the top six. Doan, Benson, Zucker, Greenway, whatever, because it's not going to be able to compensate for the other side. And it would have been the same thing with Peterka in the top six. I still think that with Peterka, if your defense and your goaltending doesn't get better, it doesn't matter that it is Peterka, Doan, Benson up there in the top six. It will not change the results.
But do you think there still needs to be a little bit more clarity in the form of moving out a forward to make it look more likely that Doan has a like this is and I was not referencing top six when I opened the door to the Doan conversation. Because you had just mentioned Greenway. And so that to me is what kind of led, like, okay, Marty's talking about all the forwards on the team right now. Where does Doan fit? And this is the thing, like, after the Quinn signing and based on the constant speculation of Benson holding down, you know, potentially a top line spot, I just don't see any firm commitment from people that just, you know, throw out depth charts, build them on legitimate sites like Puckpedia, whatever. Like, this is as curious as I could possibly be in the second week of July about a player. I don't think anybody's willing to say, I want Josh Doan on my third line 100%. I want him on my fourth line. I think he could push out Benson and actually be a better fit on the top line where Tage Thompson's playing. Like, I don't think anybody knows. Am I wrong here?
No, you're not wrong. I don't think anybody knows. I mean, if you look at the point totals in less games, Doan had less points than Zach Benson. Do I think that Doan could be a better offensive threat? 100%. I mean, he's not his father, and maybe will never be, but Shane was a hardworking guy that produced. I think Josh could be the same thing with more skills, but it has to catch up to him. Here's where I think that, if I understand your question right, is by saying, how do one player move out to allow a Josh Doan elevation to the lineup at some point? Well, injuries may factor into that this year, but when you look at next year, you have Peyton Krebs would be an RFA at the end of the year, Malenstein a UFA, you have Benson and Doan all RFAs. Like, I think organically the roster is going to open up for Doan to elevate. So that's how I see it.
This year?
No, in a year from now.
But that's what I'm at. I don't care about next year because everybody's talking about you have to win this year. And when they acquired Justin Danforth, that to me muddied the waters in the sense of, okay, well, how do we draw up the depth chart here?
Yeah.
Right? Because you still have 14 forwards.
I don't have Malenstein right now on my 12 because I think I'm looking at.
And you don't have Kozak, presumably.
I don't have Kozak right now either.
Right, but he's going to be on an NHL contract and not waiver exempt.
And they moved on from Lafferty, right? So that's what it is.
Yeah. There's a lot to unpack. Maybe we'll do it tomorrow. Shayna Goldman is going to be on tomorrow's
show. We'll take a poll. Who do you want to play top line with my duos? Who do you want to play with Norris and Thompson? And who do you want to play with Zucker and Kulik?
I just want to know where Doan fits. That's my question.
Back here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, Sal Capaccio with you, Brian Cozio joining me as well. All right, Brian, you were kind enough to stick around through the break because I said I wanted to ask you about goaltending. You've seen a lot of it. You've seen a lot of these guys, how they've been handled or not handled over the years. And you saw some inconsistency last year from Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, who was showing some promise the year before that, but it just didn't really sustain last year. Now the Sabres has, as you referenced, maybe a guy in Devon Levi who could wind up being a really, really fine, excellent NHL goaltender, but they don't feel he's quite ready there. We know he's a little bit younger. How do you see, how would you play maybe the goaltending situation playing out on the heels of the Sabres also signing Alex Lyon, who, by the way, will be doing a media Zoom call today at 3 p.m.
So I will say I thought that the plan after last year of Levi spending the entire season essentially in Rochester and him having a very good playoffs up until even the last round against Laval, but the whole team had a tough round there against Laval. I thought that he was going to be up and it was going to be an open competition between him and Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. Ultimately, because I feel like Levi has the higher ceiling, that you kind of root for him to win the job in the sense that you feel like there could be more potential there to have better greatness and better goaltender play. The Alex Lyon signing on its own, him individually, I like. When you put now all three together, it's an equation that I'm still trying to figure out. if I'm Devin Levi and I see that signing, I'm like, well, what the hell? Like, I did everything you asked. I went down to Rochester. I spent the entire season there. I carried my team at various points throughout the regular season and in the playoffs. And I had statistically, they were, of course, comparing him to Ryan Miller-like numbers, the best AHL goalie numbers since Ryan Miller. Okay, so what else?
The best college goalie numbers ever, basically.
Right. So what else do you need me to show at the AHL level? You know, this is from the Devin Levi perspective, to the point where I think he deserves a chance to see if he can be the number one goalie with the Sabres this year. And I thought that was going to be a very, very interesting storyline going into this year's Sabres training camp and preseason. Can Levi rise up and be the guy? Lukanen last year, very, very just to me, okay. I wouldn't say that there was anything there that was glaring that he was bad with, but there definitely was some inconsistencies. He had some of these moments where he looked back like the Lukanen we saw when he first took over as the starter, where he was out of position or maybe overcommitting to shots. Not that in-control Lukanen that we saw really, really good for a few months at the end of two seasons ago when he kind of was putting up Vezina-like numbers. So I think we've seen three really, really high-level months out of Lukanen, and then the rest to me has been just okay. If you said Lukanen's the starting goalie for the Sabres here for the bulk of the games, I don't think it's bad. I think Alex Lyon could provide a really, really nice backup for him, but I'm still kind of trying to see, like, where does Levi fit in all this? And if it means starting in Rochester again, like, are you now again maybe hampering a player in terms of maybe him helping out the NHL team? Now, for his personal development, would him playing in Rochester another year be bad? I don't think so at all. Goalies, as we know, take a little bit longer in terms of their development, but I'm just surprised in the sense that all, again, these moves that Kevin Adams supposedly was going to be made, could there have been an opportunity to trade one of the goalies, whether it's Lukanen or Levi? I think there would have been. If Lukanen can be a part of a trade offer, whether that him and Byram together that can land you somebody, I'd be all open for it. If Levi and Lyon were your two goalies this year, I think I'd be okay with that. I think Alex Lyon has proved enough that if you need him to maybe take a bulk of it while Levi is going through the growth of getting more into the NHL, I think that would be okay. But to me, the signing of Lyon, puzzling, and if I'm Devin Levi, I'm not happy about it.
It is a really interesting kind of quandary because, yes, if you're Devin Levi, you want to be on an NHL club, of course. The Sabres, though, have to look at it as, if he's not playing up here, what is the benefit? We need him to play. Yeah, he might be able to help us every fifth game, let's just say, something like that, whatever, how many games he's going to play. But he's also playing all on the regular down in Rochester. That's what we need. That's why it's such an interesting concept.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm a big believer that goalies have to support goalies. There's only two goalies or whatever shakes out or whatever. Devin is in the room. I haven't spoken to him at all, but there was a time in my life where I didn't treat the other goalies that well, and it was a mistake. You have to support each other because the reality is in an 82-game season, you need both guys to be going. And you need both guys to win games. And when one guy's struggling, you need the other guy to pick him up for the confidence. I know, like, when I'm struggling and I know that the other guy is going to win a game, it gives me a lot of confidence and it makes me play a lot more freely. It's just such a delicate balance of being very competitive with each other and pushing each other.
Alex Lyon, as a goalie, that's the way you got to sound, right? Goalie supporting goalies.
Yeah, it's
or you want to fight your partner?
It's a little harder than you think to not want to fight your partner sometimes.
Right, because it's a competition, really.
It is.
At all times, I would bet.
Yeah, everything is a competition. You got to, practice every day, every game you play. In junior, I had a partner, mm-hmm. Benny Halas, who's playing college hockey now. He'll end up playing pro, probably in Europe, but he's mm-hmm. good goalie. And we were both good, solid goalies for the league we were in,
mm-hmm.
and we split time 50-50 dead down the middle. And every day in practice was a war with Benny.
Yeah.
And we were best friends, but every day in practice, every game we played was, seriously, it might have been just as intense as the games we played on the weekends. We wanted to beat each other so bad because you knew, this is all I'm competing with you the most directly. It's kind of similar to the F1. You're competing against the driver.
But you have a teammate,
but he's
too.
Your teammate too. Yeah. And so there's a balance to find there. And I found that really interesting from Lyon because there's so many guys that do it differently in that way.
Yeah.
Some guys just don't talk to you. I had partners that wouldn't talk to me. It was just, listen, we're.
Yeah. This is here to compete. And this is business.
And then I had guys like Benny, who was legitimately one of my best friends in the world, and I loved him, and we still went to war every day.
Not to bring everything back to golf, but that sounds like, you're doing a match with a buddy on the golf course, and he hits a perfect shot, and you're like, that's a good shot. And in your head, you're like, I don't want to beat this guy so bad. But you're still friendly at the end of it?
Yeah. And there's, you fight against... When you're young and you're learning how to be a goalie at a somewhat high level and you start getting competitive,
mm-hmm.
I think every goalie probably at some point is sitting on the bench and their partner gets scored on and internally you go, yes, and you immediately feel disgusting and you're like, that's not,
mm-hmm.
that isn't right. And that starts, I think, for many guys, the process of learning how to find that balance that Lyon's talking about there.
Yeah. So real quick on the Sabres and goalies, but also prospects. I was reading Steven Ellis this morning. He's ranking he's going through all the prospect systems in the NHL. He does not have the Sabres as the number one prospect pool in the league. In fact, he's not specifically ranking them. He says they have a top 15 pipeline.
Hmm.
So basically just they're in the top half of the league.
Yeah.
So, okay. The Sabres are, he's ranking them their top 10 prospects. Want to guess where he ranks Levi? Their 10 best prospects. Nope.
One.
Not one.
No?
Nope.
Ooh, then now I'm thinking the other way. Is it five?
It's fourth.
Wow.
He hasn't ranked behind Noah Oslin, Radim Mirko, who they just drafted, and Konstantin Helenius. And he writes about Levi that he just has not found that way to crack onto the full team yet. And the Sabres just signed Alex Lyon to a 2-year deal. So some would argue he still has the most upside of any goalie in the Sabres system, but is there a legit pathway to NHL success still? And I think this might be a big year for him.
For
determining at least the reputation of what he is. This star upside that has existed with him since the Sabres really acquired him.
Right.
So this is 5 years, right? 5 years.
Yes.
Of Levi just existing in the back of the mind of any Sabre fan thinking, they got a star goalie on the way. If he doesn't make it to the NHL this year at some point, doesn't have to be right away, but if he doesn't fight his way into their rotation at some point during this season, I think a lot are going to start writing him off.
Yeah.
At least towards being that. Maybe he could still be an NHL goalie, but the idea that he's going to be a top 10 guy in the league, that he's UC Saros 2.0, I think we would have started to see more of that by now. And there was also this contract situation, which I think most are expecting that to be pretty easy, that he'll just sign as an RFA.
There's some comps for him that are making above $1 million.
And for him, this was the noise about him when he came out of college, was he only really wanted to sign in Buffalo. It was whispered, but it was the worst kept secret in town, that he only really wanted to sign in Buffalo if they cleared a spot for him.
Right.
And now now that contract is over. And he's an RFA that's not offer sheet eligible. So he doesn't really have much of a play. But if 3 years ago he really only wanted to come here if they cleared a spot for him, and now he has no contract, and definitively they did not clear a spot for him because he would have to really wrestle a job away right. from somebody. Again, like I don't know what the next step of this is though. Like he might want to find a way to get to a team that is more willing to give him a spot right away. And just kind of hand it to him, but I don't know how he accomplishes that.
I think there's a part of that that is when he came in, he probably wanted to see, can I jump right in?
Well, he probably thought he could.
Exactly. Like
he was probably confident, I'm going to step right in and I will never go to the AHL.
Right. And so he thought that, rightly or wrongly, I think every guy that's playing at that level should think that about themselves. He came in and went, I need the opportunity to do that. And now what he's done is not forced them to let him in again.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with what I know about him as a kid, that I've heard really, really good things about him mentally as a person, as a goaltender, both in and out of the sport. I've heard he's a really, really good guy. I think if he's smart and self-aware and has good people around him, he'll recognize, I didn't force the Sabres to give me the job.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got a deal. I got to make him do it. And I don't think he will force his way out of this situation to get somewhere where, I mean, how many places are going to
give
him a spot in the NHL?
Might be tough to find in the first place.
It's not happening, I don't think. Yeah. Not for a guy at that. It's just there's not those jobs available.
Right.
You find veterans to do that job like the Sabres did find Lyon. It's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think you're getting gifted that job from a team, especially not a team that's any better than the Sabres, because anybody any better than the Sabres has a good goalie.
Right.
Like
most teams are going to have a better goalie room than the Sabres right. are right now.
And so you're not going to find a much easier path than this, regardless of how you feel about
and
what
then,
they did.
And then there's also, like, I don't know what to make of his season. Like, he was great in Rochester again in the regular season. And then in that first round playoff series, he was incredible. But then when they went and played Laval, which was the top dog team right. in the AHL, he got lit up.
I'm seeing a lot. Yeah.
So, like, what am I to make of that?
I don't know.
That's the last thing we saw.
It's the last thing we saw, but it's also
a
massive sample size of him being incredible all year in the AHL.
Mm-hmm.
And then that Laval team was legit. Like, that was a borderline NHL roster team. And, you know, he got beat, but it was, I don't even think it was a 7-game series. It was a 5-game series, I think, and they lost in 3. And three bad games. I am not ready to write off the season he had because he struggled against Laval in April.
That's right, but it's more throwing doubt into the mix of, like, how much should I really count on this guy to someday come be my number one goalie? Because I've been treating it as such really until now, and I still kind of want to believe he's more likely to be the Buffalo Sabres' long-term number one goalie than Lukanen is.
Oh, he definitely. I 100%
but
believe that.
That doesn't also mean he's likely to. Just because he's more likely than Lukanen is doesn't mean that he's likely to be, you know, the Ryan Miller comps. Actually, we have a call about that comp right now. Bruce in Tonawanda. North Tonawanda. What's up, Bruce?
How are you today?
Morning.
I'd like to just basically put a pause on the Devin Levi thing. Let me remind the good listenership that Ryan Miller played 4 seasons in the AHL before he came up. 4.
Yep.
It takes time for goalies to figure it out. It's one of the hardest positions that there is in sports, in my opinion. Who wants to stand in front of a puck coming at you at 100 miles an hour? Not too many people that have a sane mind and body. But no, it took him 4 years to figure it out. And once he came up, he was ready. So let's, if we can, put a pause to this and let him be him and let him figure himself out. And if it happens, it happens. And if it doesn't, I guess it doesn't, but the kid mm-hmm. needs some time, in my opinion. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Bruce. The only thing about that, though, and I, in a vacuum, on a well-run team, be totally good with that. Like, right. And that is all reasonable. Miller might have only taken 3 years in the AHL if there wasn't a lockout.
Right.
But either way, it's still more than Levi's playing.
Yeah, whatever, yeah.
I guess they didn't necessarily do this offseason. My only problem with, well, just let him sit down there and, like, don't worry about it. It's when the Sabres have treated it as such. The Sabres have planned for goalie in the last 3 years as though he's going to be here.
Exactly.
They plan in 2022-23 where they don't trade for a goalie at the deadline, which is one of the most criminal things I think they have done
yeah.
with Kevin Adams as the GM. They had a playoff team that just needed a few more saves, and they didn't touch it because they were afraid of the college goalie not signing with them.
Yeah.
That year, they planned their goalie room around him arriving. The next year, they planned their goalie room around what? Him being the starter.
Right.
He started opening night, first three games of the year.
Right.
Last year, Reimer, they waived him at the beginning of the year. They're lucky he was still around, that they got re-waived so they could bring him back. They planned their goalie room three straight years around him being there.
That's
now. The now they have finally not done that.
Right. That's the point I was going to make. Like, I agree. I think he does need more time. The Sabres are the ones that need to be told that, apparently.
Well, now because I think they do. Now they did it.
Right, but it took them, they've got it reversed. Like, they should have been doing what they did this year for the last 2 years and, mm-hmm. you know, maybe left a spot open this year. But they didn't do that. And so when they treat him in that way of, he's going to be the guy, and then he's not the guy again,
mm-hmm.
And then now this year, what's going to happen? That's where I think a lot of fans get, well, what's going on with this goalie? It's been 3 years I've been hearing about this guy. And should he still be in the AHL? Probably. But yeah. They've been saying to you, all of us, no, he's ready. He's coming.
Different. He's special.
He's going to be able to do it.
Yeah.
He's got it. And it brings me back to another part about that Lion clip that I found really interesting was at the very end, not in the clip we played, but the full answer he gave. He talked about finding – it takes a long time to find your game, and once you find what works for you, you got to hold on to it and protect it. And to me, that is what takes this time. Levi's as physically, technically talented as he'll be ever now. He needs to learn – his game and what works for him. Do I slide in this position? Do I like playing in a reverse VH on this post? What all this stuff mm-hmm. that you got to figure out as a goaltender, it just takes reps and time, and that's what he needs. And so you got to wait for that. And if it's ready, it's ready. And if it's not, you can't force it, because the guy, once you lose a grip on that stuff that works for you. You saw this with Luukkonen last year. You end up guessing and you end up looking a little inefficient and not very good, and you end up not playing very well. And so you've got to try to protect against that, especially with a young goaltender.
I just found just a wrap on this. Again, this is something we bought into. We bought into the Sabres thought through their actions that Levi was different and he was special.
Yeah.
We followed suit. I put a poll up on June 8th of 2023. Would you trade Devin Levi straight up for Connor Hellebuck on a long-term extension?
Oh.
I didn't even do the only one year left on his deal. I'm telling you, Hellebuck will sign with you long-term. Would you trade Levi for him straight up? 8,800 votes, and 86% said no. That's where we were.
I mean,
we were hype was nuts.
And that was...
Holy crap.
The team...
And now
like,
he's the fourth-ranked prospect in the system.
Right. It's crazy. The team... A lot of it was the team forcing him on to people.
Right. We, like listen...
In media.
We got suckered.
Yeah.
It was never likely. It was never, ever likely.
No.
To the caller's point, goalies take time.
Exactly.
It never should have been the plan. It never should have been talked about the way it was. I'm guilty of it, too. And now we're at a point where... I feel like we're in a more reasonable position. It's all that history makes it feel like, you know, we should be down on Levi. I feel like if the expectation was never set that high, we would still feel pretty good.
I think you'd feel great.
You'd feel good. Like he's had a good AHL career. He had a bad series at the end. He's 23. Goalies aren't supposed to arrive even by that age usually.
No.
Like without the history of the team saying this kid's going to be different, elite, going to show up earlier than everybody. You would look at him and say, this is a good goalie prospect that's developing around the rate that most do.
Exactly.
Some goalie chatter on July 9th for you. Alex Lyon speaking yesterday. Good comments. Good talk with the media. That comment that we just played there about how you should treat your fellow goalies in the room. All that's on demand, WGR 550.
Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, thanks for listening. We haven't talked about the news on Byram yet today. I want to make sure that I only ask this, because I'm not 100% sure I'm right. Wasn't it Adams himself last week who mentioned the offer sheet possibility for Byram as in that's money the Sabres are prepared to spend?
Yes.
If he is offer sheeted.
Mm-hmm.
But they, I think it's safe to say, would have known at the time of that comment that they would disqualify him from that possibility. Am I out of line here at all? Like, how could you say that if you knew
you were going to make a move that would prevent him from being eligible for the thing you were saying?
Like he was, we'll match it.
Right.
I mean, it's almost aggressively sounding,
yeah,
we'll match it. But he would have known, probably, that it would never come to that unless they changed their mind on arbitration. But when you and I talked about this last week, we said he'll go to arbitration. We didn't have to be right.
I was surprised that he passed himself.
The team chose it.
The team chose it. That was the second window, and the Sabres acted on that. Whereas Connor Timmins, another player of theirs, defenseman, who's an RFA, himself chose arbitration. The end result is the same. You're ineligible for the offer sheet, and, you know, that's it. So whether the team or the player chooses it. I did spend some time sort of spinning this over in my head. Like, where's the motivation to do it? And I'm going to guess that they didn't like the idea of being stuck with a 7-year contract for Bowen Byram at some outrageous money that a team would offer sheet him, and would be reluctant to, you know, he said they would, so maybe they were stuck in that case, but wouldn't want to do that. I would have been surprised if the player would have gone out, frankly, and sought an offer sheet of that length to be married to the Sabres, if indeed, it, you know, he and his agent believed Kevin Adams when he said he was going to match. So what am I doing? I'm basically renting this asset that I already have on my team until the next trade window opens, which is this year's trade deadline. And if he chooses a 2-year result from the arbitration, which is up to Byram to choose now because of the way this went, then, you know, you'd have another trade deadline, another offseason, and another deadline if he chooses 2 years. And I don't know what he will do, but my sense is that they still think they can make a trade for this player and will live with him on their roster and pay him whatever the arbitrator decides until they can find that trade. If it's all the way until next February, then so be it.
And they could still trade him.
Sure.
Right now.
Right now, sure. Yeah.
And if that happens, is this like all set that he still would go to arbitration with that team?
I think that that's the way that works, but they can still, the Sabres and he, and so any other team acquiring him with that arbitration hanging out there, I think could still reach a contract. He can still sign a new contract right now. Like if he and the Sabres agreed on some massive deal or they trade him to another team, they can still skip arbitration.
That's probably what would happen if he were traded.
Yeah, I would think.
There would be a contract with it.
Somebody would like him enough to want to take the full plunge. Yeah. So I think they're just protecting what? Against a long offer sheet. Okay, fine. I like that for them. I didn't want them to make a long commitment to Byram. I'm all right if he's here. I just think it's not optimal that they haven't moved a player. I think they wanted to move to improve their, you know, their group up top, the offense, the wingers. They still are, you know, we're into it now. Like we're through the original rush, you know, the best players left and all that. So yes, a trade can still happen. It hasn't yet. I don't know. I got here today, and the St. Louis Blues roster was still open on my browser. I'm like, I guess I can close that up.
Oh, how really? Like that's the work computer, and you were logged in already, and
yeah, I just I save the stuff that I have open reopens when I log in.
Restore.
Yes.
Previous pages.
Yeah.
And the Blues were one of your pages.
The Blues were one of my pages. Yeah.
Or as you say in baseball, Pages. There are two players with the name Pages.
All right.
They're pronounced Pages.
Okay.
So now you know that. I don't know. I just feel like it might have been disingenuous to talk about, we'll pay the money. Like that's how. What?
Yeah.
The Sabres are probably sick of hearing about how they don't spend the money, but they don't. And so here, this kind of was framed as bring it on, offer sheet, because we'll match it. And, you know, that has two parts to it. One is we like the player and are willing to pay him. And the other is we're willing to spend. It's sort of both things.
Right.
But neither is going to happen.
No.
And they would have known that.
I would expect that at least that they, you know, the possibility existed. I guess it's conceivable that they didn't know for sure what they were going to do as far as that goes. But either way, if they were bracing, maybe they thought he was going to choose arbitration. When he didn't, they pivoted to decide to do it themselves. But either way, if they were counting on it, there's no need for the we'll pay the whatever on an offer sheet because he's not going to be eligible for one. So, yeah, I don't know. It's another version. It's this year's version of why we didn't spend to the cap is what we, you know, oh, we're saving it for Paterka and Quinn and all these RFAs. And well, you traded the best one of those. So, you know, golf clap to you for that. And no, we have this money parked over here because we want to make sure we can match an offer sheet to Byram. Well, you took a step to guarantee that wasn't going to happen either. And so what's up with the $13 million? It's going to sit there.
That's what I'm saying.
It's going to sit there and, you know, good job, everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, they still have a, you know, they'll spend some of it on this arbitration award unless a trade arises. So he might get $6 million in arbitration, yep. Right?
I bet
so,
he does.
So that's half of it. And then Timmins is still due something. Levi is due something, whether that's on the AHL or NHL books, I don't know, but still. So they'll spend a good chunk of that money, maybe close to $8 or $10 million of it, frankly. So
I think
it's not like it'll all be parked.
It's included in this, I guess, problem I'm having with what was said last week. But Adams even saying we'll match any offer sheet, why would you even say that? Why would you show your cards like that, right? I think it just comes from this never-ending pursuit to convince everybody that they'll do whatever they can, and it's guys who want to be here, all of this, don't come and try to prey on the Sabres. They're in such a defensive posture. This is how it comes out publicly, which you could be in this posture and not, if you just said it right, it would not come out publicly.
Mm-hmm.
But they can't, you know, Adams, it's really a Adams point, not a Sabres point. Like, just, why would you ever want to just, basically, you're trapped then. Now, we're not getting an offer sheet, which I think he probably knew was not going to happen besides. But without that, I said this the other day. Why would you have to say we'll match the offer sheet? What if a team wants to you know, test you and they like Byram this much and, you know, they've got an opening for him and we don't know. It's Buffalo. That could go either way. Like, we don't know what they're going to do. But he goes on, you know, on the air once it was played back. He goes on the air with we're going to match it. And I don't know. I just, why would you do that? Why would you tell everybody what your cards are? It's because, I know the answer. It's because they're just constantly spinning how, you know, yeah, they just can't come take our guys.
They needed 24 hours to brag about how they were going to keep their guy.
And it's been 20 years of this, if not 50, which is like, this is, we're back in the Darcy, Vanek, Briere, Drury aftermath.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, how long did it take the Sabres to match on Vanek? 5 seconds? And they were so excited about that. Like, you can't come take our 7 years, $50 million. You can't come just do
that. I remember Darcy saying, I'm almost sure this was publicly. I don't think I had 3 off-the-record conversations with him the whole time he was the GM, and he was the GM a long time. I remember him saying, I was yelling at Edmonton, don't do it. We're just going to match. You're just driving up. He was mad from the league standpoint. Like you're artificially inflating salaries by doing this. This is a player we are not prepared to let leave, and now we got to pay him $7 million. And you did it. Basically, he was scolding the Edmonton Oilers for doing it. That's how I remember Darcy about that.
I know what I would say if I were Edmonton.
Thanks.
No, just like get out of here.
Right.
This is competition. Yeah, Darcy was hot about that. Yeah. He wasn't like pounding the table in Philadelphia hot, but he was hot. Or standing on the, what was he doing with D'Amico in the when the puck went through the side of the net?
Pointing aggressively at the TV at the corner of the net where the puck went through, and D'Amico's looking at it, and Darcy's pointing at the TV in a suite or wherever they were, and yeah.
How could you not catch that?
Right.
Isn't that your job? He had a point.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
I don't know what the Sabres. I mean, come on. Why bring up the topic of the offer sheet? You know, we still have to talk about arbitration. There's still a few things that have to play out here. No, it's if there's an offer sheet, which he probably knew there wouldn't be, we will match it, which he didn't need to say. All in the same effort to, like, you know, what's the best way to put this point I'm trying to make? We're going to spend, we are building something, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it was an opportunity for them and him on their behalf, the organization's behalf, to sound like money's not a factor. Like, you want to give him 7 years and $12 million a year? We're going to match it. That's ostensibly what you're saying. Not that I think anybody was waiting out there to sign him to that contract, but you're telling the world, like, we'll do whatever it takes.
You're trying to send the bigger message, the overall message to your fans and to the league. Which, if you're well run, you would not want to do that, and you wouldn't be anything but forthcoming about, you know, how you're, what you feel about the player. I mean, not forthcoming. They're not going to criticize him.
No,
but just I don't need to tell you that. You know, how do they get in so much of these jackpots when there are so few press conferences? It's not like there's a weekly segment here.
No, it's right.
There's very few of these, and somehow
he steps in something.
Somehow.
Yeah.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
week away from Give 716 Day. How about that? I'm proclaiming this from my vantage point to be a no-bo Wednesday. We'll see if Marty adheres. Hi, Marty.
How you doing? I'm looking forward to Give 716 Day this year. I think, once again, it's going to be a fun few days of learning about different charities and non-for-profit organizations and how great the Western New York Buffalo people are to donate and help each other out. So I met some really good people over the years doing that. So I'm looking forward to the launch that we're going to do, on the 15th. So it's going to be awesome.
Lots to come on that front. Obviously, stay with Sabre social channels for the latest and how you can be involved. How are you involved with the game today? The game at large that is the NHL. Is anything, I mean, there are, here's my headline of the day. What should the Islanders do with Pierre Engvall?
Oh my gosh, that's it, Marty. If that's where we're going.
I'm checking out. You got 53 minutes all on your plate.
I understand that. And if that's what we're doing, I'm going to say, well, it's not just Pierre Engvall, who has 5 years left at $3 million. How about Anthony Duclair, who has 3 years left at 3.5, and his coach last year said he was terrible. He was, and that prompted Duclair to leave and say, I need some time off. Now, they're supposedly will talk, and Patrick Roy said, I wasn't good, and I will apologize. But that Matthew Darche situation as a new GM looking at Pierre Engvall and saying 5 years at three, that's not good. That wasn't on my list of papers of topics.
Could be, though, because the Islanders, are they not going to be potentially better than they were last year? Healthy Barzal added another high-profile KHL signing in, is it Shabanov or Shabanov? It'll flip-flop, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Heinonen from Montreal in the Dobson trade. Jonathan Drouin. So there's potentially four forwards that would elevate, obviously, their offensive output. That's just in that alone. Sorokin could be even better, right? Like, he had his moments where
he hasn't been good under Patrick.
True, but Patrick's running out of options to go to his beloved Varlamov. So now, and may have even fewer options now that David Riddick is the guy. But these are the directions you can go in on any given day right now when you're focused on the Sabres, and then you go, how do you improve? How do you make it? Who are you better than? And
how are you going to make the playoffs?
I was tongue in cheek with Engvall, but I think the reality is the Islanders lucked their way into a lottery win, which also makes them way better organizationally. I think they're improved here.
Yeah, I look at their list of forward, and look, they acquired Jonathan Drouin. Look, Drouin did good in Colorado with Nathan MacKinnon, almost was a point of game this year, and dealt with a lot of injuries. To me, it's going to be health, right? If you're the Islanders and you're healthy, that's fine. They did lose a big piece in Noah Dobson. And basically what they got in return, Emil Heinemann's a depth player. And the two first-round picks that they got, they're not for now. It's all about Matthew Schaefer, the first overall pick for the Islanders. But how does, like, when I put the Islanders roster down and I put the Sabres roster down, and I'm going to include Bo Byram on the roster, there is some parts of the roster that is favoring the Buffalo Sabres. I think the defense is favoring the Sabres. I think goaltending, obviously, you got to favor the New York Islanders. If both forward groups are at their best, I think it's very comparable. Like, if you take Josh Norris and
Tate Thompson, the Islanders would then have goaltending edge.
They would have the goaltending edge. But I still think that if you had Josh Norris at his top, and we don't know what that is going to look. He played a couple of games and that's it. But Josh Norris and Tage Thompson and a Jack Quinn that could elevate and all of a sudden play like he did more in the second half of the year than the first half of the year, and we understand the injury from the year before, that all plays in. Then I'm saying, okay, the Sabres were a better offense than the New York Islanders. The New York Islanders has the better goaltending, but the defense is on the Sabres' edge. Okay, with that, I would take two out of three, but obviously the key here is what is happening in the net and how does Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen or Alex Lyon rival Sorokin, Varlamov, and David Riddick, even with the New York Islanders. But I think, look, if I'm just sitting here right now on July the 9th, I'm saying the Sabres, in my opinion, are better than the New York Islanders. I think that losing Noah Dobson was a big blow to what could be a tough year defensively, hoping they get saved by their goaltender. That's how I look at the New York Islanders right now.
But Dobson had a big dip last year, so that becomes part of the story as to why the Islanders weren't as good as they had hoped. Their special teams were historically bad combined, terrible, sitting at 31st in both regards, so one can't imagine that that replicates or duplicates itself, pardon me. And again, this was not meant to be an exercise in Long Island in long form over the course of an hour here, you know, on Sabres Live. But, you know, it's they're one of the teams.
Yes.
That, like Buffalo, and, you know, if we're to believe how trade rumors and then lack of substance to them or execution of them has unfolded here, there seems to be this stalemate across the league to a certain extent, limited free agents in the pool this year of high impact, but yes, also the notion that all of a sudden 26 teams are in win now mode. So nobody's sitting here wanting to part with futures as the take back in a significant deal. Do you agree with that? Do you think that, because even if you're looking at it like, sure, could the Islanders use Bo Byram? Yeah, they could. Sorry, I just broke my own rule 6 minutes in. I let you talk
you're talking about him.
Nah, hang on. Airplane going overhead.
Well, I can't hear it, so you can mute yourself. But I think that even the Pittsburgh Penguins, who I don't think is anywhere near a playoff spot, are saying we don't want futures right now. They have Crosby, they have Malkin, they have Letang, they have Carlson. They want to, if they were to move something, want to acquire pieces that are going to make them a better team now. I look around the National Hockey League, and it's very, very hard to find a team that is saying we will take futures. Even the San Jose Sharks, with their signings this summer, tells me that they want bodies that can play and try to take a step forward. They're not looking at, okay, give me prospects that will be maybe on the team 4 years down the road, or draft picks that we're going to have to draft and develop. That's not what we want. We have those pieces in place. It's very, very interesting, the cycle that has come to every team in the NHL right now. On top of the cap flexibility with the teams because of the rising salary cap. And that's why, like, we put on social media today about Dougie Hamilton and the New Jersey Devils. But if you're the Devils, you're not looking at making a Dougie Hamilton trade and all of a sudden saying, we're going to acquire a first rounder, a prospect, and a third line player. Like, that's not happening. You are going to be able to get Dougie Hamilton by giving something significant that the New Jersey Devils feel will make him a playoff team, you know, again this year, from, you know, and maybe take steps from where they were last year.
Well, okay, what would that Hamilton return look like for New Jersey? Because they, again, I don't even like this angle that was, you know, the way everybody, because it's copycat opinion, you know, across the board, seemingly. Can you tell I'm frustrated by it? The Devils Fitzgerald got knocked for not doing enough to boost offense at the trade deadline.
Yes.
Okay. Well, he was missing Jack Hughes. Like, are you replacing Jack Hughes, the centerpiece of your team? Like, sometimes you just have to suck it up and, like, hope that the stuff that you did earlier in the year is going to pay off. And I'm not saying they mailed it in. They didn't. But it seems like, in my opinion, they got too much criticism for not doing enough in the absence of a significant injury in Hughes. And now, by extension, maybe a more fair comment is, you know, like, can you count on Jack Hughes? Like, these are ridiculous moments, right? Like, he's not injury prone. He crashed into the boards. The crappy situation against Vegas, right? Gets upended, yeah. Can't defend himself. Boom. Could happen to any player, any time, any shift, any game. So, but if you're asking this question legitimately, if Dougie Hamilton decides, okay, I'll move on. I'll give you my list and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Like, what are the Devils taking back in return? They have kind of a surplus of young defensemen waiting to come in, so maybe that wouldn't be an area that they would look to backfill. They have one of the oldest goaltending tandems in the league in Jake Allen and Jacob Markstrom. They had an underwhelming season statistically from Dawson Mercer. Is he the catalyst, a catalyst that also could go out the door? They added Connor Brown and Evgeny Dodonov.
Yes.
If Tom Fitzgerald had done that at the trade deadline, I'm still not sure that moves the needle in the absence of Jack Hughes.
It doesn't. Nobody can replace Jack Hughes, but I do feel that I'm going to give Tom Fitzgerald a pass for last year, not really going a little bit more aggressively to replace some of the offense they lost from Jack Hughes. But if that was to happen again this year, now you would have to make that happen. The reason I'm saying is that, yeah, even though it was a freak accident that sidelined Jack Hughes when he went hard into the boards in Vegas, that was a collision with Eichel, right? They both went and... but he's played on average 61 games per year. Like, he's missed a quarter of each season on average. So that is, I'm not going to say concerning yet, but if it was to happen again, then you're Tom Fitzgerald. You've got to make sure that you give yourself flexibility to be able to go and acquire somebody. And the flexibility you may have is by trading $9 million Dougie Hamilton. Because right now you have six and change left in under the cap, and that's probably going to go to Jack Hughes' brother, Luke, on defense or close to it. So you need to give yourself some flexibility cap-wise to be able to make a move if you have to. Now, what would that look like? And I'm going to use a Sabres offer maybe for a Dougie Hamilton. But you're not trading Alex Tuck and Tage Thompson and Josh Norris. And, you know, you probably are not trading Jack Quinn right now either. You just signed him and maybe you put his name out there, but I don't think that that's what you would have to do. I think what you would need to look at is probably Jiří Kulík to say, okay, there's a center that could come in and play in the place of Jack Hughes, if Jack Hughes was missing some time. But if not, you can slide him behind Hughes and Nishier, and he's playing third line center, and you have a good offensive player. That probably is another roster player, and I'm using younger, talented NHL player here. Maybe it's Benson. Maybe it's on the blue line that you're looking at moving somebody out. Maybe it is a Ryan Johnson, but the defense in New Jersey would be pretty stacked. So I don't think they would want that. But it starts with that, and it's probably another big piece, another either high-end prospect or first rounder or something. Dougie Hamilton last year had 40 points, and it wasn't that great of a year. He had 72 points 3 years ago. Like, that is a high-end, top-of-the-league defenseman, a $9 million defenseman. It's going to cost you a lot in return.
Do you think Hamilton stays a Devil?
Well, the more and more I talk about it, the more and more I see a reason why Tom Fitzgerald would be exploring the trade. Because their group on defense is solid. Their group on defense right now, you have Brett Pesce, you got Brendan Dillon, Jonathan Kovacevic, Jonas Singethaler, you got Casey Nemitz, Luke Hughes. Like, you got seven right there that I say, I can make that work in the NHL. I can make that work, those seven, and I don't have Dougie Hamilton. I trust my goaltending with Jacob Markstrom and Jake Allen. I don't need Dougie Hamilton. So I think if you're the Devils, you could say, yeah, my defense is strong enough. I would like to add a little bit up front, and that is the way to do it, by putting Dougie Hamilton out there. It is early, well, we're almost in mid-July, but let's just call it early July still.
It is early, yes. We're not close to mid yet.
Late July. It's late July already, Duffer. I'm fast forwarding like 3 weeks.
I feel
weeks.
Like we did this last summer.
I know we did. That's why I said that. But it is early July. So do we see trades happening at this time of year? We do sometimes. That's when Yoki Aryu was acquired by the Sabres for Alex Nylander. It was on this day in 2019. So we see it happen. But I don't think Dougie Hamilton is going to get traded now. I think that as we get to August, maybe, but that would be more of a October, November type of transaction that would happen in New Jersey, because they would see where they're going. And if New Jersey starts without enough offense, then you pull the trigger.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.